The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. It's where everybody supports this show. If you enjoy it, go ahead and do it now. Man, coming up again on the end of the month, and you guys have given us yet another record month. And I think it's not in no small part thanks to all the bonuses that you guys get. I spent a lot of time in Texas over the last week, and I tried to do my best to give you guys what you wanted and what you needed. So go ahead and check it out. It is patreon.com/JURY. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got two teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. Ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by
mine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Justin Robert Young program. Oh, can you feel it? We're back in the seat of my power in Oakland, California. Ugh. Just me and you guys again. A big shout out to Brian Brushwood, who was my co-host throughout so much of the programming last week. If you are a fan of the One Mike Jury Empire, then you certainly got a lot of bonus. Brian, on Politics, 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 and Jury, thank you. Thank you for filling that in, Bri. But, man, you know, all good things must come to an end. We are now back. Back to just me and you. A little bit more of an intimate conversation between yourself and me, Justin Robert Young. So, what's been going on? I'll tell you what's going on with me. I had a big week. I think I counted it up last night on the plane. I did 17 in a little over 6.5 days. I did 17 different live streams, podcasts, and videos, like video recordings, all in support of course, Action News, the game of television debate. We are coming up. We got 8 days to go. We are fully funded. So now we are just looking to make sure that this big, beautiful deck is as big and beautiful as it absolutely can be. And of course, that means that we've got news cards to unlock. So the next one that we have in five backers, rather, is the big Olympic protest. Speaking of Oakland, the Black Power protest at the Olympics. We've got Disney World opening after that. Diana and Prince Charles marrying after that. Microsoft's antitrust lawsuit and Julia Roberts being a runaway bride. This is an insane story that I had totally forgotten until I went back and started doing research. But Julia Roberts was going to get married to Kiefer Sutherland? Dig this. America's sweetheart, Julia Roberts, gonna marry Jack Bauer, right? Now, they're all younger at the time. bails on the wedding, and the weekend she's supposed to be getting married to Jack Bauer, she goes vacationing in Ireland with Robert Patrick, T-1000. Julia Roberts ditched Jack Bauer for T-1000, and they went vacationing in Ireland. If this happened, this happened in 91. If this happened today, in the era of social media, it would be the biggest thing on the planet. It would be huge. If somebody, a big star, was about to get married and then all of a sudden went off frolicking with another big star. It's what I love about this game. It's what I've loved about doing the research for this game. So go ahead and check it out. Action News, Kickstarter.com. Just search for Action News or go to actionnewsgame.com. Did I not say Jason Patrick? I thought I said Jason Patrick. It's T-1000, right? And I believe it's Patrick without the K because it's the brother of the Filter lead singer. Yeah. There we go. Let's begin. This time in Texas was really, really kind of transformative, I would say. You know, it was the first time that I kind of realized that I was sort of on tour for something. Like, my job when I woke up every day was to find somebody else to talk to about Action News. And I wound up doing a lot of it. And, you know, I still kind of wanted more. There's a lot of conflicting feelings for me about exactly how much effort that I've put in to Action News, because I believe in it so much and I wanted to succeed so much. And yet, you know, I've been honest with you guys before. I mean, there is a hard time looking at the number that we're at right now and realizing that it's six figures under what we did for the contender. And that's not, again, we're not going to dwell on that, but it does constantly sort of leave this, this blanket over my head, right? All right, I might have gotten my Patricks mixed up. It's not the Patrick from Filter. It's T-1000. Whatever the T-1000 was. People are pointing out that I'm mixing up my Patricks. Okay. But going out there and just really making it my gig to go and chat up the show was something, or chat up the Kickstarter, was something that I really did feel good about. It felt good just going out there and kind of physically spreading the word as much as I could. And I just want to take this time, because at the point that, well, maybe I'll say my big schmaltzy thank you for next week, because that'll be the day before. But just know that I love and appreciate everybody who supported this project. It's meant the world to me. It's been a little bit more tumultuous than I think I initially expected it to be. But know that anybody who I've seen retweet it, anybody that I've seen post about it, it just means the world. It really, really does. And I can't thank you guys enough. So I'll leave it there. There's going to be more schmaltz next week. But, man, I really had a great time hanging with the Brushwoods. I like hanging with the Brushwoods a lot, the Brushwood family, because I feel like I'm like the narrator for a coming of age movie, like a gender flipped Boyhood, right? Or just periodically, once every couple months, you know, you stop in and you see where the family is. And man, we are at a stage with those three Brushwood girls that it is different each time. They are all different human beings each time that I show up there. And I don't know what it is. I guess I don't really have a ton of that sort of... My life at 34 is not tremendously different than it was at 24. You know, there's more money. I'm not as lonely because I have a wife, But in general, it's about the same lifestyle. And it's so interesting to go see a wholly different one, you know, to see the raising of three girls and how fast they're all growing up. I'll tell you what, though, there is something to this. You know, I think it's like statistically documented that the youngest of a certain, you know, strata of brothers and sisters, like siblings, that they tend to be overachievers. And I can totally see why. Because, like, Callie, who is 4, I think, is so, so far advanced. Like, she's just speaking in, like, full sentences, and she gets jokes and everything. And not to say the other two weren't that far along, but it wasn't like that. They're all going to be so smart and so talented. So I don't know really what the point is to this, other than to say that I love the Brushwoods. I love the Brushwood family. And it is always good. I think it is good to kind of get out of your own perspective every once in a while. And it's something that I constantly try to do to myself, is to think of things in other people's headspaces, right? Try to get out of where I'm at. Try to take off my blinders and see it from other people's perspectives. And there's only so much you can do that in abstract, right? There's only so much that you can that you can do without immersing yourself in another world. And, you know, the Brushwood household for me is just kind of it's like a port.
Mahoy.
Like, I know what I'm getting into, because it's another podcast studio. It's Brian, who I love hanging out with, and I do half the shows with, right? And yet, it's different. It's got local exotic flair. There was one more thing that I did notice. And I think all the parents here, the parents listening. In fact, I want to hear from the parents. This is something that I realized while I was there. Is that their girls are, what, 13, I think 10 and 4, right? And I made a realization. And understand that this is going to, this is all said out of the most love possible. And I do believe any parents who are listening to me will take this exactly in the spirit in which it is offered. I have become aware that now that I have 3 birds, there's a lot of bird noise that I just tune out. I just can't hear it anymore because it's not anything other than just random bird noise, right? It's not them in trouble. It's not them screaming or yelling or panicking or possibly hurting themselves. It's just like, just random bird noise. I tune it out to the point where I only really realize it when I'm on the phone and I can hear it echoing back into the phone. Similarly, I would say both Bonnie and Brian have tuned out the first 5 daddies or mommies. So I think, as Brian described it, it's basically just boredom leaving their bodies. They're bored, so they call for the entertainment, mommy or daddy, right? But it's funny because I'll be sitting there with Brian and I'll be talking to him, and because I'm not used to it, I'll just hear, daddy, daddy, daddy. Unfazed by Brian. And when you spend enough time, you realize why. Because he's exactly right. All they are is just bored. They're just yelling for entertainment on demand. Now, as soon as the pitch changes a little bit, if it starts getting closer, like, now all of a sudden, red alert, right? But if the kid can't bother to move and is just yelling, daddy, 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 blindness, ear blindness. And I don't know. I guess I just, It's one. That's one of those artifacts of childhood that I don't remember. I don't remember screaming for mommy or daddy all that much, although I'm sure I did. I think we all probably did, because this is how we learn how to deal with boredom. It's just yell for our parents. Oh, come on. Jerry Bonch Coach says ear blindness is a disease. Oh, calm down. Calm down. No, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's not, they're not like having any kind of medical problems. It's just something that happens. Okay. That's that. Actionnewsgame.com into the home stretch. Anything that you guys can do to get the word out on this, now's the week to do it. Now's the week. We're running low on time. This is when people are motivated to get in before they can't get in anymore. Very, very, very important. So let's go ahead and get into some of the stories of the week. We find weird stories throughout the week and we try to highlight them. Let's begin with this one. I very much enjoy this one because it is not only a trend story that is barely a trend story, it's also cultural clickbait. So I don't know. I generally don't know where to put this. You guys help me out. Fake street signs warn of easily startled police in Twin Cities. At least two orange street signs reading, "Warning, Twin City police are easily startled," were seen in the Twin Cities Sunday. And anybody who's watching us live on Twitch.tv or on YouTube will be able to tell that there are indeed what looks to be a semi-official sign, an orange sign, that has a police department member who has the lines pointing up from their head. And they look very surprised. And he has both guns pointed outward and he's kind of shooting indiscriminately. So, we read now from this Star Tribune article written by Aaron Adler. Joe Marino brought an incredulous friend to see an orange street sign he spotted on Cedar River's neighborhood of Minneapolis. Oh, Jesus. Let me try that one again. Joe Marino brought an incredulous friend to see an orange street sign he had just spotted in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis. The official-looking metal sign read, "Warning, Twin Cities police easily startled," and featured a graphic silhouette of a police officer, a gun raised in each hand, shooting in both directions. "There's a side of truth to the sign," Marino said after snapping a picture of it. "That tells you there's something wrong with the system." The sign, which was still up at 8 p.m. Sunday, was one of at least two seen in the Twin Cities. The sign's reference to the killing of Justine Damon just over a week ago. And now this article is refreshing, so I can't read it. Great. Awesome. So, Let's peel the onion back on this, right? How much news is there in somebody putting up a satirical sign for which people are triggered, upset, or amused by? Right? What is the burden for us reporting on it? Because I think that this is not a simple question. If this was just a tweet, you know, which is, might be where it came from, is somebody tweeted a picture of it, and now all of a sudden the Star Tribune gets a hold of it, and now they start talking. You know, Where is it just a random person did a random thing, or this is important social commentary? Because in general, I find it kind of dubious that if you don't know where it came from, you don't know who did it, and they only put up one, possibly two, in my mind, as a newspaper reporter, I feel like good lead, bad story. This is a good thing to start with, right? But it's not necessarily something that you would be able to build a whole story around until you get other information on it. And yet, it's the number one shared story on that website right now. Because it certainly is clever, insightful social commentary. Between Philando Castle and that Australian lady that got shot, this is now two shootings that seemed to be able to be avoided. So, you know, you have to wonder, you know, is this just, I mean, that story had a quote from one person who took the picture and no quotes from the police department. I feel like you want to know what, that's probably what it needed. It needed somebody from the police department to say, hey, we're pulling it down, or this is what we think, or you know, we are, I don't know. Maybe even off the record, although I'm always kind of dicey about off the record stuff for stuff this small. I don't know. There was something about it that just kind of resonated with me on the idea that it might, you know, it's obviously it's there for the commentary. I don't know. All anybody wants to talk to me about in the chat room is the fact that the stupid Star Tribune site wound up blind redirecting me to some weird spam thing. So I guess we can just move on. How about something that is absolutely newsworthy? This is, I feel like we need a sounder for our ride share beat. We are on the ride share beat, ladies and gentlemen, and we are making the best of it right here on the Jury Show. We've brought you racist drivers. We've brought you drunk ride share drivers. But here is something that I do believe you have yet to have seen on this rideshare beat. This from the New York Post. Uber driver caught by passenger allegedly receiving oral sex from a lady friend. This is written by Jackie Sallow from the Post. Uber reportedly has suspended a driver after a customer claimed that the man was engaged in sex acts with a woman during a dangerous and inappropriate trip. Anna Manuel of Boston took to the company's Facebook page Thursday to complain about a trip in which a driver appeared to receive oral sex from a woman. According to Manuel, he got in the car and noticed that there was another person in the front seat, though he did not select Uber Pool, the option that allows multiple passengers to share a ride. Quote, as we pulled off, the female in the front, who was clearly on drugs, this is his quote, attempted to open the door and could not even sit straight as the vehicle was in motion. She began to grope and grab him. Manuel shared a video that showed the woman caressing and kissing the driver. She then proceeded to perform oral sex, Manuel said. That was my last straw. I asked the driver to drop me off. He claimed that he contacted Uber to complain, but only received a $10 credit. They've been extremely bad at answering any message I've sent, and I demand something gets done. This is not okay. According to Gizmodo, the company is investigating the incident. Quote a Uber spokesman, the behavior of this former driver is appalling and will not be tolerated on the Uber app. As soon as the situation was reported to us, we immediately removed this driver's access. Five star, five star, five star, five star, five star, five star, five star. So I read another article about this that described the ride in a little bit more detail. The guy was not going far, but he was in an unfamiliar area. So this one really sang to me because although I know the basics of Austin, I don't really know enough to give a driver directions. Like there's plenty of times that I was coming out from Dripping Springs where Brian is, and I'm coming into Austin in a Lyft. They're like, oh, how do you want me to get there? I don't know, dog. Just follow the thing. Just do whatever you're doing. So I can imagine, and I would say specifically, there was a time after we saw the wrestling show on Saturday night, me and Willie Dills and Trey Warren and his lovely lady, and we all went out to get drinks. We closed down the bar. Fun times. Climb into a lift. Probably not unlike this gentleman. I don't know what time. It seems that this event happened in the evening based on the video that he posted. But if all of a sudden, instead of a kindly elder, older woman that drove me very peacefully back to Brian's place, if instead I had been in a car with somebody who randomly started getting head during the drive, I don't know what I would do. I honestly do not. Because part of me would... Okay. How do I put this? That doesn't make me seem just like the biggest perv on the planet. I do... All right, let me ask you this. You are the listeners and viewers of a show in which I mostly discuss the trials and tribulations of my life and how I see the world around me. Do you think I would be derelict in my duties if I was in the back of that car and that guy started getting head, if I did not ride the rest of the ride with them and try to get as much of that situation as possible? Now, I don't believe that I would ever cross the line into inserting myself in, wrong choice of words, to joining in, wrong choice of words, to making myself acquainted with the other person in the front seat. But for all the crazy stuff that gets written into this show, right? For all the crazy stories that people write in with, would it not be my duty to go as far with this as possible? I ask you, dear listeners. I ask you, dear viewers. Balloon Knot says as long as he's driving safely, I'd let it go. Now, that would be the question, right? It seems as if this guy was a little distracted, and that was partly why the man in the back decided to end the ride early. It was when he says he got a $10 kickback from Uber, I think that was based on the fact that the ride was only $8 because the guy just started getting blown immediately. So he's like, yeah, about that. Just go ahead and stop the car and drop me off. And that's that. Now, here would be the other side of it. This is already national news. So as soon as you see things beginning, that's really the point, right? You know, what else is anything else that comes afterward is kind of fait accompli. You know, maybe I would just end it right there. Maybe I'm giving an unrealistic expectation to this guy for not being more a part of the story or not seeing the story through a little bit more. Because I can imagine that would be shocking. And also, it's like, really, I mean, what else are you going to do? Time it? You're going to take the guy's blood pressure while it happens? You're going to ask this lady, you know, where she went to high school? Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Wavalavagus says, obviously, you start periscoping it. No, I'm not going to periscope it. That's making pornography without anybody's consent. Now, if I had consent, no, I'm not. I would not. No, you wouldn't periscope it. Ninja Steve says, troll him. What, am I going to start just barking at him? He's driving. I'm going to be like, oh, you, like, no, because now it's like a sexual thing. If I'm like, what if I just start yelling at him? Like, oh, dude, you're so gross. And it's like getting him off. That's weird. I don't want to do that. No, I'm not yelling, I got next. I'm not going to be a sex coach. That's far beyond the pale. I just want to be, I would like to sit, stoically in the back seat, like Marvel's The Watcher, and just kind of with my totally filled in bright white eyes, just see all of the universe, including this story, for which I would bring back to all of you like a dead bird. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on to this. This got a lot of traction over the weekend. Or over the week, rather. And I think this is another one of those stories that winds up becoming big because of something that it's not. But yet the further explanation does not really negate the awfulness of it. And I'll explain that in a second. But first, let's just go ahead and take a look at this old headline. N-word Brown. Walmart's website uses a racial slur to describe a wig cap. A Twitter user shared a screenshot of a product page in which the cap's color is described as N-word Brown. He then said, "Hey, at Walmart, what are you doing?" You can see it here. It is wig cap, $7.28 on the Walmart website for a net durable, stretchy weaving, net weaving cap, wig cap, size medium. We read from the Real Progressive Front website. The retail giant began receiving backlash from folks on social media, including author Roxanne Gray, who said the listing was far past acceptable. Yeah, fair on that one. Following the backlash, the racial slur disappeared from the description of the wig cap, which the site said was sold by Jugazi Naturals. But Twitter users noted that the offensive description was still listed further down on the page. Walmart eventually took down the listing and said that the information for each product is provided by manufacturers, suppliers, and others and has not been verified by us. It is still unclear who is responsible for typing the offensive description. So, how did I say it before? This becomes a story because you can put Walmart and the N-word in the same sentence, right? Walmart has a very specific connotation. I don't think that it would be out of pocket to say that there is a class connotation to Walmart. Rich people don't like to shop at Walmart. Poor people like to shop at Walmart. Many of those poor people are white. Many of those poor people are black. But there is an idea that Walmart is low class. Walmart, unfortunately for them, is also far behind in the world of retail after being an absolute dominant juggernaut for many, 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 many years. Amazon has come in and begun to totally rethink how we buy everything. Amazon is becoming one of the most profitable companies on the planet. And specifically now that they have purchased Whole Foods, they are looking more and more to making shopping through your computer more efficient and easy than leaving and going to a store. So Walmart now has to play catch up. Having already invested in all this real estate, having created all these supply chain deals, they now have to compete on two fronts, speed and price. Well, how do they do that? Well, they begin to bring in what Amazon has done over the past the past decade and a half now, right? More and more people into their vendor system. If you want to list something on Amazon, it is very easy to do it. Amazon will make it intensely simple for you to either just list your product on their site or ship your product to their warehouses so people can buy it via Amazon Prime. It's what we do for the Contender, for example. So Space NML nails this in the chat. This is a red flag about their low standards of product review. Now, what I think he misses the mark is the next thing he says after the comma, not racism. Because I would disagree. This is about both. This is an issue. Walmart got themselves into this issue because they have a low standard of product recognition. Because they are not, for whatever reason, you can list something on Walmart's website without a very basic list of blacklisted words hitting in there. Like, I don't think that you can just write the, like, you know, I can't just list a PDF on Amazon's ebook site with N-word. I think that that's going to trip some kind of alarm. But because for whatever reason, Walmart is either A, not good at this yet, or B, they are just trying to get people into the door as fast as possible. They have not. Now, do I think that this is racist? Yes. Yes, I think that this is racist. I don't think it means Walmart's racist. I think that somebody at Jagazi Natural Full Cap Durable Stretchy Weaving Net Wig Cap Size Medium, whoever made that listing, is either one of two things: racist or way too loose with the N-word in a retail capacity. You cannot come out of pocket. I don't care what race you are. You cannot list in the contextless void that is the retail internet. You cannot just start popping off with the N-word. I don't care how comfortable you are saying it in your life. If you are not selling it on your own website where that is a thing, where you are not cultivating an audience for that, and even then, I really think that there are problematic levels to that that I don't even want to touch right now. You cannot throw it out there. Oh, geez. White One G says, can it be both Hulk Hogan? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's.
Well, listen, brother, I got all that Gawker money. I went into wigs.
Waffle Avigas writes, how can somebody be way too loose with the N-word and not be racist? I don't know. They're black. I mean, that would be my answer to that question. Yeah, I would say that's probably the first way that you can be really, really, really loose with the N-word in your daily life and not be racist. Also, I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself from being the N-word police. I'm out on that. I'm not going to go through this. All I know is that this one went viral, and it very much deserved to go viral because, it's hard. It's hard when you are an entity that means a lot to a lot of people and a lot of things to a lot of people, and to control your image. But man, that one was bad. N-word Brown. Jesus Christ. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the mail. We got some long stories today, so buckle up, kids. You can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, that is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Please, please, please put jury in the subject line. First one is from Will. I need your opinion. I was eating dinner at a food court in Chicago's downtown about 8:15 local time, p.m. I nearly finished my Panda Express. I had my headphones in as I was working away on Excel in my laptop. With several hours of work to do before I went to bed. At the edge of my vision, there's a guy standing there across the table from me, and he asks if he can sit at my table. I say, why not? but I don't take out my headphones. He asks me if I'm 22. I tell him I'm 23. He says, I'm 22. That's why I ask. It's so hard to meet people our age. I'm polite, but not overly involved in the conversation, removing one earbud once it becomes clear that he doesn't intend on letting me get any work done. Okay. I am going to pause the story right now, and I would like primarily for our live viewers and listeners to answer, where do you think this story is going? I'll wait a couple seconds, but where do you think this particular story is going? Random guy comes on up to him while he's eating and starts making fairly inane small talk about meeting people their age in their early 20s. We're seeing a lot of missed opportunities, butt sex, model scout. They get into an Uber. All right, we continue reading. He eats a KFC meal. And we exchange facts about ourselves for 30 seconds with 30 seconds between questions. I learn he's a film major at a top film school out of state, and he's in Chicago for a summer internship. More generally, I'd say he wasn't unattractive, maybe a 5, dressed in a lower energy, smart casual, and slightly on the socially awkward side, but clearly an extrovert. At some point, he starts to get up and leave and says he enjoyed meeting me. Relieved it was over, I said it was nice to meet him, too. Then he said he was always looking to meet new people. Then he asks if he can get, quote, unquote, my digits. I awkwardly agree, not sure what else to do. This has never happened to me before, and I was not prepared. I put my number into his phone. Then as he's gathering his things, he says, maybe we can get a beer sometimes, if I'm not being presumptuous. So I think I saw Waffleophagus in there who had hitting on him. Pay out everybody who said hitting on him. Well, that was weird, but I was showing disinterest throughout, especially when he mentioned that line about getting a beer. So I'm hoping he read the situation and will forget about me as quickly as possible. No more than 2 minutes later, I got the following text. Hey, dude, this is Steven. Name change for anonymity. It was nice meeting you, man. Have a good one. What began as a strong feeling turned into a near certainty. I just got hit on by a gay guy. Now is a good enough time in this story to mention that I am, in fact, not gay. So after much consideration, I decided to be a good human being and clear up the confusion with the following. This is 9:04, so about 20 minutes after the first text. Hey, man, it was nice to meet you. I apologize if I'm reading this incorrectly, but I do have a girlfriend. If I'm reading that right, then I'm sorry I didn't speak up sooner. Regardless, have a good one, too. And then I got back the following, 6 minutes later. Dude, I'm not gay. I didn't mean for you to think I was. And yes, you were reading it incorrectly, and that's okay, man. Huge fuck up on my part. I apologize if I was intrusive. This was a total misunderstanding, and I apologize for that. I'm as straight as they come. Have a good one, man. Sorry for the confusion. Then didn't mean for you to read that much into it. He goes on. So I have many questions. Did I do the right thing? Was I an asshole? Do you ever get hit on by gay guys? And probably my most burning question, do you think he's really gay? I know he literally said he wasn't, but he said 3 times, once would have done the trick. Somehow, I'm still 70 to 30 with him being gay. Please give me your thoughts. Okay, let's answer the easiest of those questions first. Have I ever been hit on by a gay guy? Yeah, I mean, the last time I was hit on by a gay guy was at Hood Slam. Hood Slam has once a year a drag show. So their male performers come out dressed like women, and their women performers come out dressed like men. They wound up expanding it to 2 days this year because it was such a well-attended show, and you get a lot of people that enjoy drag shows, which is a tremendous culture out here in the Bay Area, who want to come and see a different kind of drag show. Oh, yeah. And then there was the other time at the roller rink where I definitely got hit on by who I assume was either gay or on drugs or both. But I was there and I was watching the show, and I had my hand on Ashley, who was also there. And this guy was like, "Oh, are you here with your friend?" And I was like, no, that's my wife." It's like, "Oh, okay. I was just checking because she just looked like your friend." And I'm like, no, it's my wife." And he's like, "Oh, okay. All right. Just checking. How are you doing? What's going on?" And it was like, it was innocent. It was not a thing. And like, I didn't make a big deal about it. I just kind of went back to watching the show. But it was certainly one of those things where it was "Hey, you are a guy at a drag show. Many, 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 many guys at drag shows bring their friends. Many, many, many guys at drag shows are gay. Fair dinkum. Took a shot in the dark. I felt flattered by it, to be totally honest. You know, I felt pretty. I felt like the prettiest girl at the bar. I was happy that happened. Now, if anything, I almost felt bad that I felt I was blowing the guy off, because it seemed like he didn't believe that was really my wife and that I was just blowing him off because I didn't like his come on. But, Crunchy89 says that goes away. I don't doubt it. I'm just saying in that moment. So let's get back to Will. Will, I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't lie to you on this show. I'm going to tell you that there is a little bit of me when I read your story that I say, "You doth protest too much." Because I have never found it particularly hard to ignore people in a public setting. Specifically if I had work to do. So there is no harm in saying that, "Hey, look, I enjoyed the company. Somebody came up to me. They started talking. I enjoyed the back and forth. That's fine." The other element of this letter is, I have no problem discussing how attractive certain men are. I don't think that it makes you gay if you're like, that's a handsome man. That's a good looking man. Oh, what a hunk. What a real beefcake this guy is. Rick Fu says, "If they say I'm as straight as they come over and over and over again, it's usually the last thing I hear before they go down on me." I'll leave it to our gay listeners to write in on that, because that's something that I have heard peripherally, that there is a dance to the gay mating dance oftentimes involves a lot of, oye, look how straight I am. But I can't speak to it specifically, so somebody else will have to make the point on that. But this is something that I have never found myself saying, and it's not to say that it makes you gay or right, whatever. But I have never found myself saying that he wasn't unattractive, maybe a 5, dressed in a lower energy, smart casual. And slightly on the social awkward side, but clearly an extrovert. I've just never, that's just not where my mind has come in terms of quantifying male beauty in a way that didn't immediately relate to actions taken in the story, right? But I will say this, even if you, so let's assume everything that you've said is true. Your instincts are dead on. Will you, man with a girlfriend, straight guy in Chicago, just trying to work at the Panda Express, gay film guy, comes in, chats you up, thinks that you're just the cat's ass, wants to talk to you. I don't think that it's necessarily something that you needed to cut off unless you felt uncomfortable with it. And it seems that you did feel uncomfortable with it for whatever your reasoning. And that's fine. Not everybody's got to be comfortable with every situation. But I would say if you think 70-30 that this was a come on, I don't think you were hit on by a gay guy. I think you were picked up by a gay guy. And like, I'm not saying you're gay or anything like that. I'm just saying that now that there is a lesson for you to learn. That is what a pickup looks like. Come in, talk to somebody, get their number. That's exactly what happened. Now, if you found the guy fascinating, you don't have to fuck everyone you meet. You can absolutely just say, sure, let's just go grab a beer. And if he starts, you know, touching your thigh or something like that, you can say, whoa, what the hell's that? That's not my bag. That's not where we're at. We're just here hanging out. So do I think he's gay? In the abstract, in the way that you talked about him? Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I'll rely. You want to know what? Gay jury listeners. Gay jury listeners. We are putting up the gay signal. Bah. Boom. I'm not even going to venture in to say what's on the signal. Imagine something appropriate. I need you guys to write in justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. You give me your read on that interaction. Give me your read on it. Because, again, I've had peripheral, you know, I've been around, I've had gay friends, you know, I've been hit on by gay guys a couple times, but it's not something that I am familiar with the patterns for. So write it on in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, jury in the subject line. Balloon Knot says, what if he was gay but just wanted to be friends? I guess that's what I'm saying too. I mean, oftentimes, specifically people in their early 20s. Here's what I'll say. When I was hitting on people that I wanted, or when I was talking to people that I wouldn't mind having sex with in my early 20s, a lot of the way that I handled it was, hey, let's just make friends. And if we happen to hit it off, then we'll be more than friends. So I don't think that it would be strange if it was all of the above. Yes, he's a gay guy. Yes, he found you fascinating and or cute. Yes, he would like to hang out with you in a platonic relationship. Or, you know, if it happens, you know, come on. Chicago is the city of meats. Moving on. Let's go to Erickson. Erickson writes, I don't know if this is good for the show or not. A little bit about myself. I'm almost 38. I'm separated and living together with two young kids. It was Father's Day, a coincidence for me, but not so much for her. I found her ad on the Craigslist casual encounter section. She was looking for a hookup with a guy that had kids, a father for Father's Day. She wanted to give back. Now, this was a little confusing in the email, but as we go on, he's not talking about his separated wife that he's still living with. This is another woman on Craigslist. So this is not a more filthy version of the Pina Colada song. As any woman in this section, she received a multitude of replies and somehow filtered it down to me. I guess I was the lucky one. We met at a bar for a drink and played a game of pool. We talked for a long time. We got in my car and drove around talking for another couple hours and really hit it off. She was much younger than me, 24, a nurse and going to school. What was planned to be a hookup turned into a first date. And she even said that herself. We continued chatting lightly for a few days and made plans for that Wednesday. I'll skip the details as it was a long night, but many things happened, including me singing karaoke for the first time. I rubbed her feet at the bar, and she was orgasmic to the point of raising her dress to show me her panties and putting her toe in my mouth. She drank too much, and I carried her to my car to bring her home. At that point, she berated me because she wanted to dance, telling me to F off and calling me a bitch. Sounds like a winner. I calmed her down and we got back inside to dance. We danced and had a good time. Did I mention that we were at a gay and lesbian bar? There was a drag show and it was a popular night to be there. At the end of the night, she was talking with other women as I was talking to this woman's best friend, a guy. They were back in town for Pride and invited us back to her mom's apartment. Oh, man. You know, sometimes I, you know, you read these emails. And it's about the dogs that don't bark, you know? We're just running past a lot of red flags here. We are just running. I mean, I will say the gay and lesbian bar is the least of them. We are just barreling past warning signs with little to no recognition of them. We hesitated, but we were having a good time chatting with them, so we decided to go along. Turns out this woman had her own agenda, to bang my date. It gets late, and I tell her we should head out, and I'm going to leave, and that she is staying. My date can't decide whether to stay or go with me. Things got heated. I remained calm, but was threatened by that the cops would be called if I didn't leave. Come on, buddy. All right. Again, it's like, I understand things got heated, but you remained calm. I think that there's a little bit more in that before the cops get called, but that's fine. We'll just keep going. My date stays behind and has sex with the woman. By the time I got home, she had sent me a message apologizing, saying she didn't remember what happened. I get home at 5 a.m. and see she dropped off a bunch of stuff from her purse onto my car floor. We talked things out the next day, and I said that we could hit the reset button and try again. For real? For real? Hit the reset button? How much worse can a first date go? Number one, it didn't even fulfill the promise of the date, which was supposed to be a hookup, a father for Father's Day. It turned into a horrifying first date. The reset button? We read on. We meet that night so she could get her stuff back and hang out for a while. At this time, I'm informed that her ex-boyfriend has contacted her that day and may want to get back together. Cue Lando Calrissian. This deal gets worse all the time. We hang out for a bit, and she decides she wants to go back to the original arrangement. Hook up and never talk again. I let her know that she shouldn't feel obligated and that she doesn't owe me anything, but I'm willing if that's what she wants. We didn't have the opportunity that night as her roommates did not vacate her apartment, and the next day she is conflicted. I tell her I don't want to do anything with her, which is where it's at, and she agrees. We say goodbye. I go out Ubering that night. Oh, my God. No. No, this can't be the same person. If it's the same person, you need to email me back, Erickson. I go out Ubering that night. 1:15 a.m., I receive a message. Her roommates are gone, and I still want to come over. I thought we were done with this, which is what I told her. I end up going over, and we have an amazing night together. Again, I'm home at 5 a.m. We exchange pleasantries that morning and say goodbye. 2 days goes by, and she's compelled to talk to me. I'm happy to talk and be friends. I was happy to talk and be friends. By the next day, she wants to get together again. I was unable to make that night, and a couple nights later, she informs me that she will be proceeding to get back with her ex. I tell her I'm happy for her, and she is surprised at how cool I am being. Again, I say goodbye. I don't know if I will ever hear from her again. It hasn't been that long, and I wouldn't be surprised either way. He then added a little postscript that they have already hooked up again in the time that he was writing that email. Oh, boy! All right. Where do we begin? I would be a hypocrite to tell you guys that I have not been in situations where I have willfully looked at just big flashing warning signs. And I have run through them without hesitation. However, I do want us all to better ourselves, our community, all of us together. I do believe that we can be better than the sum of our parts. And so whenever you're in this situation, whenever you know that things are maybe a little bit off, and yet you've got elements in your soul that make you want to go right into them, literally sometimes, I just want you to isolate this sounder from my mouth to your brain. Really? Come on, buddy. Just really? Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. You know this isn't a good idea. You know goddamn well this isn't a good idea. This is a problem. You do not want to be involved with this woman. Bad news bears. Abort, abort, abort. List more stuff on casual encounters. But how about this? Keep it a casual encounter. I know you're lonely. I know it seems like you're going through a lot being a father, living with your separated ex, raising two kids. That's a lot to deal with, dude. That's a lot. And you have some ancillary energy that you just want to get out there and interact with the world. I can dig it. But whoo! Woo! That ain't it, brother. I'll tell you, you do not want to get involved because, spoiler alert, one of two things are going to happen in the immediate future with that lady. Number one, she's going to come looking for money. Number two, that boyfriend's going to come looking for you, possibly looking for money. So, from me to you, run, 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 Ronnie, run. Codes from Home says, just take the black and join the Night's Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. ActionNewsGame.com is where you can get Action News. Only 8 days left. 8 days left. Get it now. Spread the word. Let everybody know. Of course, you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. You can Twitter, Instagram. And actually, you want to know what? Here, I'm pausing this. I want two people to email me based on those two stories. Number one, I want gay people who are more informed about the gay mating dance to email me about that first story. And anybody who has had interaction on Casual Encounters, I want more of that. Email me anonymously. You don't have to send it to me. I'll keep everything anonymous on this subject. But I suspect that there are even people that are on Casual Encounters all the time that are like, get away, leave. That's bad news. That's the worst of Casual Encounters. I suspect that. I don't know. I need people to email me. If you're on Casual Encounters, let me know. We are trying to bring the world's knowledge into our palm. Of course, Snapchat me, Justin R. Young, and hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. That about wraps it up for this show. My name is Justin Robert Young, reminding you as always to please.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.